Hey, everyone. Hello. For everyone who is here and for our extended family who is listening to the recording, welcome, welcome, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I am just so excited to dive into tonight's reading because it's around the topic, surrounding the topic that got me into the course, which is sickness. And, you know, I used to be very, very freaked out by the whole sickness and death thing. So these words, this section that we've been in is just incredibly powerful for me, as I know it is for you as well. So before I share the page references, let's begin with a few moments together in silence as we turn our attention from without to within. And beginning with just taking a nice deep breath in and out. And knowing that nothing can stop us from wholly and fully remembering and opening to the truth. There's nothing there to stop us. It's here. Truth, reality, love, God, eternity is closer than our next breath. Coming into your heart and with willingness, offering willingness to the Holy Spirit, trusting that the exact path will be made clear for our most and highest growth and learning. That pathway might even be right in front of us. We might be on it already, not even realizing it. Because once we invited the Holy Spirit in, the outcome is sure. Our success is guaranteed. Gladly giving our willingness and our love to Holy Spirit to choose for God for us. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. Again, taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. I am super excited to dive into, to continue our reading tonight. If you have the Circle of Atonement edition, the complete and annotated edition, also known as the CE or the Purple Book, please go to page 840, paragraph number 4. All the editions were beginning with a sentence, the gap is little. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 28, part 3. And go to paragraph 4 and sentence number 2. Again, the gap is little. This is where we'll see some different paragraph breaks between the editions. So FIP, chapter 28, part 3, paragraph 4, sentence 2. And then in the Sparkle edition, it is page 653, second full paragraph on the page, second sentence. And in the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's chapter 28, part 4, paragraph 31. And again, it's the second sentence. So we've been reading a super powerful section on sickness. And there's a line that we read last week that I'm hoping my eyes will go right to it. Here it is. No mind is sick until another mind agrees that they are separate, and thus it is their joint decision to be sick. And so what we are being shown here in the course is that this little perceived gap that we think exists between our brother is the source of sickness. And by being willing to close that gap, being willing to recognize that there is no gap between us, that we are one, that the separation has not occurred, all seeming cause of sickness goes away. it has to be healed, because just we can't be sick. We cannot be sick. Truth cannot be sick. So we're going to continue with this for our reading tonight, and we'll probably finish up this section tonight. It's just a few paragraphs, about five paragraphs left in the section, and it's super powerful stuff. So let's go ahead and dive in. The gap is little. So again, this is referring to the imagined gap between us and our brother. The gap is little, yet it holds the seeds of pestilence and every form of ill, because it is a wish to keep apart and not to join. And thus it seems to give a cause to sickness, which is not its cause. The purpose of the gap is all the cause that sickness has, for it was made to keep you separated in a body which you see as if it were the cause of pain. The cause of pain is separation, not the body, which is only its effect. Yet separation is but empty space, enclosing nothing, doing nothing, and as unsubstantial as the vacant place between the ripples that a ship has made in passing by, and covered just as fast as the water rushes in to close the gap, and as the waves in joining cover it. So we'll pause there for our first paragraph. So this little gap, which we perceive as not so little, because look around and the world, there seems to be gaps between everything. There seems to be, you know, like the separation seems very, very real. But the gap is little. It holds, I love this, the seeds of pestilence and every form of ill. When the Course says every, it means every. So in this perceived gap between us and our brother is every form of ill, from the worst diseases you can think of to the worst suffering to a paper cut. Again, there's no order of difficulties and miracles. It all stems from this imagined gap. And it holds the seeds of pestilence and every form of ill, because it is a wish to keep apart and not to join. So this is where we don't necessarily consciously access our wish to stay separate, until we start being willing to kind of go in this direction, and we can start to, with radical honesty, acknowledge our resistance, acknowledge, you know, the times when, like, oh, hey, it's kind of fun to be Corinne, or it's kind of fun to be involved in drama, or whatever it may be. There is a secret wish, or not, well, I mean, it's a secret that the ego said we need to keep. It's a wish to keep apart and not to join. So in that wish to have that gap stay in place, there seems to now be a cause to sickness, which isn't true. But I love how it goes on to say here, the purpose of the gap is all the cause that sickness has. So the purpose of the gap, that's the only cause that sickness has. It was made to keep you separated in a body, which you see as if it were the cause of pain. And then this is the sentence that I really want to highlight. The cause of pain is separation, not the body, which is only its effect. In other words, and I'll say it again, the cause of pain is separation. It's this idea we've separated from God. It's this idea that there's a gap between us and our brother. That's the cause of pain, not the body. But we've reversed that here. If you remember, probably 2 weeks ago, we read, actually it was not the quote that I'm thinking of, but it was the reversal of cause and effect, where what we have done is say that, you know, the body is the cause of pain. And look around. You don't have to look very far. I mean, you can probably look to your own experience where it seems like the body in some way is causing you some kind of pain, right? Whether it's physical or emotional or mental or whatever the cause of pain is, it sure as heck seems that the body is the cause of pain. But it's saying here so clearly that the cause of pain is separation, and the body is an effect of separation. So heal the separation, heal the gap, and we see the body for what it is, which is absolutely, you know, nothing, and it has to heal. And again, just a reminder that if we get caught and focused just on the healing of the body, we're missing the lesson. We haven't learned the lesson, because it's about healing the mind. You know, the body is that effect of the mind. And I'm not done yet. So it goes on to say that the separation is but empty space. So think about just like just nothing. It's enclosing nothing, doing nothing, and as unsubstantial as the vacant place between the ripples that a ship has made in passing by. So this idea of separation that, like, you know, can come with a lot of fear and guilt because, you know, the ego would say, you really pulled this separation off. You really separated from God. You should be terrified of God. It is unsubstantial as the tiny place between ripples that a ship has made passing by, or even when you just touch water and make a ripple. It's just insubstantial. It's nothing. It does nothing. So it need not be feared. So I just love this teaching tonight and what we're reading, because it's just driving home the point, the fact that if we see, you know, if the body seems to be the cause of any form of suffering, we're seeing in reverse. We have switched cause and effect, because the body is an effect of the separation. The body cannot, and pain comes from separation. The body cannot cause pain. So when we reorder that, and at least are willing to reorder that, you know, being willing to learn that, that's where healing comes in. Okay, now I'm done. questions, comments, any insights coming up for anybody, or aha moments? Do you love this as much as I do?
Corinne, this is Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi. Yes, I love it at least as much as you do. As you were reading, something, this fear came up for me, and I'll tell you why in a sec. But And I thought, okay, I'm going to put this out there and ask Corinne to speak to it. Mm-hmm. But as you were then speaking, you spoke to it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's my biggest challenge with A Course in Miracles. It's the thing that will stop me from, it will make me stop reading the text for days mm-hmm. on end. And it's mm-hmm. that when I read things that, of what I am doing, that completely freak me out. Like, oh my God, I did that. It stops me in my tracks and I get filled with anxiety. But when you just described the little ripple, could you just please expound on that just a little more for me? Because that's so big for me. I love everything that you said around that. And if you could just say a touch more to really drive it home for me, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. So what we think we've done, or what the course even says that we've quote unquote done, is completely like benign. Like, it's nothing. We've not changed the truth in the slightest bit. All we've done is like have crazy hallucinations that are just like, you know, these wild, wild thoughts. We have not changed a thing. And this, you know, little gap where it seems like so much has happened, it's like, you know, I mean, just like the example, I mean, this is the best example that has it right here, that ripples, you know, that space between ripples that are just covered in by water, by love, by truth, the instant that gap seems to be there. So we've done nothing to change truth. And if, you know, Tanya, I want to applaud you, because your radical honesty, like the fact that you could notice that fear and notice what it's linked to and articulate it and be willing to put it out there, that is such an asset in doing this work, because all that ever is, when those little fear thoughts come up, and if we don't catch them, they'll fester, but you caught it, you know, you noticed it. All that is just like you just said, you know, it's just the ego part just saying, hey, don't do this, because, you know, we don't want to progress further. But again, anything that you think that you've done, or that the course says that we've done, has been in a dream. It's completely benign. We have not changed the truth or God or anything with reality in the slightest. So the more that we can bring our mind to that fact, the more solid ground we start to stand on here in this world, because we're not planting our roots in the world. We're now planting our roots in God, in the truth. And then the circumstances that seem to be happening around us, we can see them more for what they are. Quick example, I'm doing this again. I've had one of my beloved chickens has been sort of like having this weird health thing happening. And I am finally ready, because it's knocked me off center like every other time that it's happened, because it's happened now with a few different birds. It's knocked me off center. This time, I am like, I am not going, holy son of God, I am not going to betray you. I am going to keep my mind willing to, I'm willing to keep my mind on the truth, the fact that nothing in this picture can change the truth. Nothing. Not an image of sickness, not an image of, you know, any of it. So we have not done a thing. And that's, you know, when the course is kind of speaking to like what we've done, it's been what we've done in dreams. The crazy thoughts that we've had, that in truth they're not our real thoughts. They're empty thoughts. They're nothing thoughts. They're those thoughts are that space between that tiny ripple that have no effect whatsoever. So rejoice that we are innocent, and that's what I want you to really try to tune into, is your complete and absolute innocence, because that's the message of the course. Beneath anything that you've heard about, like, you know, the craziness, the insanity that we've dreamt, the course's message is our complete and impeccable innocence, and that is the truth. That is what we are being asked to wake up to, that you are holy and completely innocent, despite any other thought that might try to get in there to say otherwise.
Yay.
Did that help? Yay.
Did that help? I have tears and goosebumps.
Oh,
and heck,
yay.
Yeah, that helped. Thank you so
yay.
Much.
You are
yeah.
so welcome.
Thank you
so much for that question. Again, this is where, like, I so appreciate, this is just a side note for everybody, when you notice a little fear thought, and sometimes if I have had a fear thought surrounding a particular paragraph in the past, I might remember it and bring it up. But if anybody ever notices that tiny fear thought, throw it out there, because you're not alone. Somebody else is probably thinking of it. And this is how we heal, by getting it out and handing it over and talking about it, because the ego does not like our radical honesty. So let's be radically honest. Yay. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, okay. How about read the next paragraph? Count then the silver miracles and golden dreams of happiness as all the treasures you would keep within the storehouse of the world. The door is open, not to thieves, but to your starving brothers who mistook for gold a shining pebble and who stored away a heap of snow that shone like silver. They have nothing left behind that they have nothing left behind the open door. What is the world except a little gap perceived to tear eternity apart? Again, that's not what's really happening. It's perceived to tear eternity apart and break it into days and months and years. And what are you who live within the world except a picture of the Son of God in broken pieces, each concealed within a separate and uncertain bit of clay? I'm going to pause here, but it's going to go on immediately to say, be not afraid, but let your world be lit with miracles. And I just wanted to put that out there to end on a up note. So in this paragraph,
Corinne,
when, yeah.
I think you skipped five.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
That's really, okay. Thank you so much. Is that John? Okay, we're going to come back to the paragraph I just read. Back up. You know what I did? I did a little tick mark when we finished the first paragraph, and that's where I thought we ended last week, because I only glanced at it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's back up. We'll return to this other paragraph in just a moment. Okay, so we left off with, and cover just as fast, the water rushes in to close the gap, and the waves adjoining cover it. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Where is the gap between the waves when they have joined and covered up the gap, which seemed to keep them separate for a little while? Where is the grounds for sickness when the minds have joined to close the little gap between them, where the seeds of sickness seemed to grow? God builds the bridge, but only in the space left clean and vacant by the miracle. The weeds of sickness and the shame of sin he cannot bridge, for he cannot destroy the alien will that he created not. Let its effects be gone, and clutch them not with eager hands to keep them for yourself. The miracle will brush them all aside and thus make room for him who wills to come and bridge his son's returning to himself. I was going to flow into the next paragraph, but there's still a lot here, so I just want to take it one paragraph at a time. So again, this paragraph opens with just this continuing image of, you know, where's the gap when the waves just instantly join and cover up that gap that seemed to just, you know, be there for a split second. When we close that gap, when we are willing to close the gap, because we don't know how to close the gap, like let's be honest, we have no idea how to close the gap, but the Holy Spirit, it's our small part to turn to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit chooses God for us. So we're not fixing the gap ourselves. We're not trying to figure this out or intellectually do anything. Our little part is turning to the Holy Spirit, being willing to see the truth, being willing to close that gap. And where is the grounds for sickness when the minds have joined to close that little gap between them where the seeds of sickness seem to grow? So again, I think the statement from last week that we talked about was reminding ourselves when we look at our brother, there is no gap between us. We are essentially just allowing the waves to just close up that little gap that seemed to last only for an instant, but not even for an instant, but, you know, in perception, it seems to be going on for months and years and years and years, et cetera. That's our job, to turn to Holy Spirit, to be willing to close the gap, to be willing to see the truth in our brother. Now, it goes on to say, God builds the bridge. Again, not our job to return to truth. God builds the bridge. It's up to us to make our minds ready, but only in the space left clean and vacant by the miracle. The weeds of sickness and the shame of sin he cannot bridge, for he cannot destroy the alien will that he created not. This is where the Course is speaking to. There's a quote elsewhere that says, God would honor even your miscreations. So in other words, that empty void of separation where there's nothing, that holy, benign, you know, thought of just nothingness where we've sort of thought up a dream of fear. God doesn't know that because God doesn't know fear. God only knows love. And God, however, having given us free will honor whatever we want to do. So if we want to dilly-dally and we want to play the game of bodies and play the game of separation and play the game of sickness, if we want to play that game, God's not going to interfere because we have free will. And if God interfered, that tampers with this law of free will that he created us to be free. So, again, the way out is to turn to Holy Spirit, to let Holy Spirit choose for God for us, to empty our minds of fear, to use that radical honesty to find the fear thoughts when they pop up and to hand them over. And that's our small part. So I love this. The miracle will brush them all aside, all the effects of fear aside, and will make room for God who wills to come and bridge his son's returning to himself. Ah, love it. Comments or questions? Before I go and reread the paragraph that I read too soon.
This is Jana, and it always astounds me how the very lesson I'm learning is always brought to me again and again and again in different ways. Until I can finally go, oh, I'm kind of getting it. I am really starting to understand on a deeper level, the concept of miracles, because some of my past concepts of miracles were kind of more magical mm-hmm. thinking. Whereas for me, I'm really starting to understand that miracle for me is when I'm willing to have my perception changed, my viewpoint on something.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been felt, to go back to the lessons in the workbook. Although I've gone through, not completely, but I've gone through quite a bit of them, but at the time that I went through them, I had absolutely no understanding of the Course in Miracles. I just know I felt compelled to go through it. Now I do have a deeper understanding than what I originally had, which was kind of zero. So, you know, starting from zero, you know, any growth is pretty substantial. So I was on lesson 10 yesterday, and I felt compelled to stay on this lesson. My thoughts do not mean anything. And then also this idea will help to release me from all that I now believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I found as I was doing that lesson yesterday, and I'm continuing on with that lesson today as well, is that such relief.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt so relieved that the thoughts that I've thought about myself, the judgment, all the negative garbage are meaningless.
Yeah.
All the thoughts that I thought about people that I have perceived have done me wrong are meaningless. All the thoughts about my stumble bumbling in my spiritual growth are meaningless. It's kind of like the perception changed, and it brings me to tears. The perception of I'm not doing enough, I'm never enough, I'm not good enough, blah, 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 blah. All of that is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
It's all meaningless. And it's that tiny gap that starts to close on me feeling more from a divine standpoint of value and worth than all of that other garbage that I once thought or continue to think. Even my fear thoughts are all meaningless. And there was something so very freeing about that lesson.
Oh, Jana, that's so beautiful and just so, so perfect. I'm really touched by what you shared. You hit the nail on the head. It's such a relief. It is such a relief. And I love how you said that tiny gap starts to close. It's almost like what you just described was that shift in identification that starts to happen little by little, and almost sometimes so much to the point where we don't really notice it. The tiny gap starts to close where we thought we were Jana, Corinne, you know, fill in your name, and we start to come instead from what you said, that divine standpoint. We start to see differently and recognize that all of that other stuff was just completely meaningless. That's awesome. Thank you, Jana. Thank you so much for sharing that. And that's one of the things that I love about the course is that it's just, still to this day, I'll go back and read something that I highlighted, underlined, put in, you know, circles, put stickers next to it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've read this before, but now, you know, you get it on a whole different level. It just hits you in a completely different way than it ever has before. And I just love how the course is like this ever deepening or maybe not deepening, like maybe it rises you up at a spiral where it just keeps, you know, getting deeper and deeper.
I'd like to thank her too, because honestly, I had an experience this week, and I was talking about the crucifixion. I was beating myself up, and what she just said was so uplifting. Thank you. It's just exactly what I needed to hear.
Yay.
Absolutely.
Oh, how perfect. No mistakes. Thank you, Janet, and thank you, Paula. Okay, let's read the next. Oh, is somebody going to say something? We're going to say something, Paula? Or are we done?
We're done.
Okay. Let's reread this paragraph that I read a little bit before. Okay, so now we're on Count Then the Silver Miracles. So we're going to pick up there. Count then the silver miracles and golden dreams of happiness as all the treasures you would keep within the storehouse of the world. The door is open not to thieves, but to your starving brothers who mistook for gold a shining pebble and who stored away a heap of snow that shone like silver. They have nothing left behind the open door. What is the world except a little gap perceived to tear eternity apart and break it into days and months and years? And what are you who live within the world except a picture of the Son of God in broken pieces, each concealed within a separate and uncertain bit of clay? And as I did before, I'll do it again. The next paragraph will begin with the sentence, "Be not afraid, but let your world be lit with miracles." We'll finish reading that next paragraph in just a moment. So the only thing now in the world, the ego, you know, the world in general tends to seek treasures in a storehouse that are comprised of money, status, special relationships, you know, all the things of the body and of the world that the world values. So these are shining pebbles that we have mistaken for gold and heaps of snow that shone like silver. They are meaningless. They are absolutely positively meaningless. Instead, our treasures, our richness comes from the silver miracles and golden dreams of happiness. That is all we should seek from within the world. And the treasures that we would keep within the storehouse of this world are silver miracles and golden dreams of happiness. And again, those things we become aware of them as we turn to the Holy Spirit, as this transfer of identity, like I feel like Diana was speaking to, this sort of closing of the gap between a standpoint, you know, an ego perspective, an ego point of view, and then starting to shift our point of view from spirit instead, we're able to start to see all these gifts that are right in front of us. And these are the treasures that we would keep within the storehouse of the world. This latter part of this paragraph, what is the world except a little gap perceived to tear eternity apart? So again, and it goes on to say, and break it into days and months and years. So it's just a perception that the world tore eternity apart into days and months and years. That's just a perception. That is not the truth. Because remember, again, this tiny little gap that was closed the instant it was thought of, because we are wholly innocent. To see anything else in the gap is a old perception. It's gone by. It's done. And again, we see ourselves as the Son of God in broken pieces, each concealed within a separate and uncertain bit of clay. I love this reference to the body as being an uncertain bit of clay. How true is that? And again, that's not who we are. That is not from. That's not who we are. And although we may identify with the body, wake up identifying with the body every day or most hours of the day, it's these breakthroughs of miracles, silver miracles and golden dreams of happiness that break through and start to show us that that's not who we are as we're willing. Questions, comments before we go on to the next paragraph? Okay. Be not afraid, but let your world be lit with miracles. And where the gap was seen to stand between you, join your brother there, and sickness will be seen without a cause. The dream of healing and forgiveness lies and gently shows you you have never sinned. The miracle will leave no proof of guilt to bring you witness to what never was. I want to read that sentence again. The miracle will leave no proof of guilt to bring you witness to what never was. And in your storehouse, it will make a place of welcome for your father and yourself. The doors open that all those may come who would no longer starve and would enjoy the feast of plenty set before them there. And they will meet with your invited guests. The miracle has asked to come to you. Okay, so in the beginning of this sentence, be not afraid, but let your world be lit with miracles. This, again, just to me speaks to what Tanya brought up earlier about, you know, recognizing the fear thought, handing it over, being willing to see it differently, and letting our world be lit with miracles. Where there was seen to be a gap between us and our brother, join our brother there, and sickness will be seen without a cause. This goes back to what we were saying last week about being willing to look at our brother and to say there is no gap between us. The paragraph, in the latter part of the paragraph, what stands out to me, in your storehouse, it will make a place of welcome for your father and yourself. The door is open that all those may come who would no longer starve and would enjoy the feast of plenty set before them there. This to me is our, so I haven't said this in a while, but the studying from this purple book has opened my mind that, you know, miracles are those shifts in perception, but miracles are also expressions of love. And actually, the Course refers to miracles as expressions of love far more frequently than the shifts in perception. And so as we extend the love that we are becoming aware of in our hearts and minds, as we extend that outward and express love to our brothers, that awakens something in them, and it reinforces that same awakening within ourselves. It's a cycle. It's a interpersonal process between us of miracles, of extending love and of waking up. So this storehouse where we now are storing up, instead of the false idols, all the, you know, the riches of the world, we're storing up silver miracles and golden dreams of happiness that we can then keep that door of that storehouse open to extend to others who are starving. People in this world, I mean, we're no exception at different points in our lives, but we've been starving for this. We've been starving for the truth. This is what we want. This is what makes us happy. And other people are starving too, only they have no idea what it is that they're starving for. So we, you know, all of us, I'm sure without exception, have sought to fill that hunger at some point or another. And we might still lapse into this, but with things of the world, you know, that relationship, that right job, the ego's whole motto of seek but do not find, when we're looking for something outside of ourselves. But instead, as we connect with that truth and that happiness within us and extend that to our brothers, extend that love, that ensures that joyful feast of plenty that we share and we both benefit. This last sentence of this paragraph says, and they will meet with your invited guests. The miracle has asked to come to you, and the guests are your father and yourself. Okay, I'm going to pause here. We have one paragraph to go for this section, and I actually think this will be a good place to stop. We'll start with a fresh section next week. So we have one more paragraph to go. So now's a good time to pause. Anybody have anything coming up? Any questions, insights, comments? I have to tell you that this is just so motivating for me, and I know I shared this in recent calls, but I felt recently that I have been in a training ground to see past the picture, because it's people who in my life who have been going through some really hard times, having a sick chicken here and there definitely adds to it, and I realized that, like, I feel in my heart now, which is so different and so amazing, just such a feeling of trust of what it is that we, you know, are waking up to. But it was the suffering picture in the interim that would still hook me. And once I realized that I'm in training ground right now to see past the picture, no matter how ugly that picture may get, it's just given me so much hope and so much conviction to stay in right-mindedness, to not lapse again into ego and waste time.
Corinne, last week you mentioned this. You said the same thing last week, that you feel like you're in a training ground. Mm-hmm. And that really impressed me. And this whole thing tonight is addressing my week.
I love it.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating.
I love it.
I was with some friends who just came back from a very expensive cruise in Europe, and they were so impressed with the people on the ship, who all have master's degrees, they're doctors, lawyers, they're so, it was all, you know. And I thought of you, and I because I was starting to get a sense of sadness was coming over me, because this is exactly the opposite of what the Course teaches, that we're all equal and that there's only love. And I'm feeling sort of frustrated listening to this, and, you know, I don't know what to say, and I figured it's probably best to say nothing. And then I thought, you know, hey, you're being put in this position not to criticize them or to buy into what they're saying or to do anything. You're being put here to really just shine and shine forever.
Yes.
And let them somehow feel that radiance. And it was challenging. It was challenging. And I was so grateful, though, that all of a sudden I heard your words. Mm. And, I think we're all, when we practice this material, we're placed in these positions where we can really, not only help ourselves, but help them on some level.
Yeah.
And they might not even know they're being helped.
right. And that's the repurposing. So, you know, the ego's setup would be that you go into judgment and you say, oh, my God, these people, I never want to be around them again. I've done that many times. That's the ego setup. The repurposing of that then instead, the new way is you're in the same situation, but now you're like, oh, wait. I'm here to shine and shine forever, just like you said. I'm here to do this differently. I'm here to not buy into the picture and all of this, you know, nonsense. I'm here to hold steady. I'm here to hold steady. And
well, listen, I got to tell you another thing. With these people, I love them, but they're very their political ideas are very different than mine.
And I think you've shared about them before, yes.
Yeah. Well, that started coming up, too. And that's where the Holy Spirit, you know, is like, uh-oh, Holy Spirit, help.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know one of the group, all of a sudden, changed the whole subject to something entirely different, something entirely benign, the whole evening just turned out so nice. I'm telling you, it's miraculous what the Holy Spirit can do.
Yep.
Absolutely miraculous, because honestly, I was feeling like, this is trouble.
Oh, Paula, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. What a great example. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And that you're absolutely right. I'm so glad your example really drove home the point about how, you know, it's up to us to shine and shine forever, regardless of the external circumstance that we may find ourselves in and however triggering or, you know, whatever that may be. And this, I also want to normalize, because like you said, Paula, like, you know, this can be really not easy. Like, this can be challenging. This is where our learning is so gradual and it's gentle. And, you know, we're not hurled into reality. We take this step by step. And if we lapse and if we start saying like, I can't be around them anymore, so be it. It's okay. When we go into judging that, all we're doing is fueling the ego. The ego is the epitome of judgment. So when we stay in non-judgment toward ourselves for where we are, we're not fueling the ego. We're not making it grow stronger. So we have to be where we are. We have to be where we are. And then it's step by step by step, we start feeling more sure and like we're standing on a firmer Holy Spirit foundation. We're not getting as knocked off as often, you know, from the ego foundation. It's this transfer of trust. This is the transfer of trust that the Manual for Teachers talks about. This is it in the works.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that, Paula.
Thank you.
Oh, anybody else want to add anything before we read our final paragraph?
This is Chana. I just want to say one thing about the reading. There's a part of it that just keeps playing over. It feels like, you know, when you get into a warm bath after a hard day and it's just so soothing. Okay.
Yeah.
So this part, and I'm very teary tonight. I apologize.
It's okay.
But it is what it is. Be not afraid, my child. I love this part, but let your world be gently lit by miracles.
Mm.
I mean, it's so easy for me to gloss over stuff. But to really have that sink in like a soaker hose, you know, so much of life is like this fire hose approach and nothing sinks in. This is like a soaker hose. Let your world be gently lit by miracles. Oh, my God. Literally.
That to me just feels like when I just get into a hot tub and I feel safe and protected, and that the plan is that the Holy Spirit is going to light my world, if I allow it, by miracles.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Janet, that, you know, I just have to highlight that the editing, you're reading from the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, I see, and the editing was a little bit different in the CE, and I actually love the editing there in the FIP. Be not afraid, my child, but let your world be gently lit by miracles. That's just slightly different than what's in the CE, and it's just that much more. You feel like I get from that editing that same feeling of what you just described of like melting in a bathtub when after a or a shower after a long day. Oh, that is so good. And that's like,
I want that.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. And letting those, I'm just letting those words sink in right now too. And I so appreciate you highlighting them, because that's Jesus talking directly to us. How awesome is that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Final paragraph of this section. This is a feast unlike indeed to those the dreaming of the world has shown. For here, the more that anyone receives, the more is left for all the rest to share. The guests have brought unlimited supply with them, and no one is deprived or can deprive. Here is a feast the Father lays before his Son and shares it equally with him. And in their sharing, there can be no gap in which abundance falters and growth dims. Here can the lean years enter not, for time waits not upon this feast, which has no end. For love has set its table in the space that seemed to keep your guests apart from you. I just got goosebumps. This last sentence, what Tanya shared earlier on, comes to mind immediately. So this tiny little space where it seems like we've done something, where we've actually done nothing, this tiny little space between two ripples of a wave, which is nothing, which is instantly closed, it's been filled with love. Love has set its table in the space that seemed to keep your guests, which are your Father and yourself, apart from you. So in that tiny gap that was a split thought and was healed instantly the moment that it happened, in which we have done absolutely nothing, love has filled it. Love has set its table in that perceived gap. So that's another statement that we can tune into to remind ourselves of this. Last week, I think the statement that I shared was that looking at your brother and saying there is no gap between us, we can remind ourselves that there's no gap between us and there's only love. Only love is there. Only love is real. Love has filled that gap that was not even there for a split second. Love has healed it. Oh, I'm so grateful that we got to share this reading together tonight, because when I read it earlier in preparation, I was just so excited. I knew it was going to be a powerful call. This is just so good. Does anybody have anything, any insights, takeaways, questions, comments, examples, anything you want to share?
I just want to say that was a really nice presentation. And I mean, there's so much in there, and I really love what everybody shared too. I mean, because I know it talks, you know, that we really have to have those experience to really get them. But even hearing other people's experience, I think, gives us that little bit of the miracles that we know are out there, you know,
yeah,
and not
yeah.
be afraid that we can receive them too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. And that's one of the things I love just about doing this call, is that we all do gain when we hear somebody's example, when we hear the examples that we share on the call. It's for all of us. It's not, you know, just for that one person. We all gain. It's at minimum, just a reminder, you know, that this is what's in store for all of us. But even beyond that, this treasure house that the course talks about throughout the course, when you are healed, you are not healed alone. So any healing that happens for any seeming one person is actually happening for all of us. We're all helping each other as we do this work. And again, that's beyond something that we can like comprehend on a large scale of how that's happening, but it's true. So thank you for that. That was John, right? I think that was John.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, anyone else?
I just want to say thank you, and I'm so grateful for this. That's thank you.
Me too. Thank you. All right. I love you all. Thank you so much. We will pick up next week with the next section and have a miracle-filled week. You all will be in my heart. I love you all, and I'll talk to you soon.
Love you too.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Love everybody.
Take care.
Bye. Take care,
bye-bye.
Everyone. Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.